You're listening to Neurodiversity at Work.
Life can be so shady. The way some people try to bring you down. Why's it got to be so crazy?
In today's episode, we bring you question and answers from my good self and Amanda Kirby on our new book, Neurodiversity at Work, which is now available to buy in Amazon, Waterstones, Kogan Page, and probably most other bookstores you can find a decent business book. We're going to talk today about why we wrote the book, definitions for neurodiversity, the recruitment process, why employers should care, where do we lose in talent, and spiky profiles. Short, sharp Q&A. Enjoy the day.
So Theo, just tell me, why did we write a book in the middle of a pandemic?
I don't know. We must be crazy, right? But really, the reason why we wrote it, for me, is that I wanted to share with the world kind of a single place they could go and get all this incredible information that I couldn't get when I was trying to research what neurodiversity was about and what it meant within the workplace. And you, Amanda?
Well, I suppose we had conversations. We thought, well, we've got different things to say, different ways of saying it, how to bring it back together. And we were doing nothing at home at the time, I suppose.
Yeah, you could say that. I think we had nothing better to do other than work and living life and looking after family and have fun. A good reason as any to write a book.
You're right.
So, Amanda, did we actually ever agree on a definition for neurodiversity?
Well, I suppose we did. There's a lot of different definitions out there. So I think we've come to the conclusion that neurodiversity is us all. It's the way we think, move, act, hear, see, process information. And we've got 64 billion brain cells all moving and connecting in different ways, and we're all different. I think that's our definition.
Wonderful. And then intersectionality, I guess, plays its part in the level of complexity, not just about the brain, but around where you grew up, what you did, who looked after you, who didn't look after you, and what kind of education system you went through.
Absolutely. So it's not one thing and it's not one person and we're all different. And I think that's really important. It isn't a thing. It isn't a condition. It isn't a trait. It is about the variability in the way we are.
Hurrah!
So Theo, is there a problem in the way that we're recruiting talent?
Absolutely, there is. Organisations want incredible talent with incredible skills, but then they fill their processes with kryptonite. And that makes it really difficult for people to access the job. And it all starts often with the communication, the words we use. You know, if we translate that to technology, it's the algorithms we use for technology that discriminate. It's the words that we use as part of our communication strategy that discriminates. And that is a high barrier that we're putting in to stop people even getting in at the very early stages. And then we continue to do that throughout the process. Put kryptonite all through the recruitment process, bright lights, you know, lots of noise in interviews, not giving people concise questions. We fail right throughout that process and we continue to do it and we need to change that.
Great. And I think you're absolutely right. It's in a language we can't understand and so we can't access it really.
Absolutely. And it's the first place to begin. So no excuses. We should all be changing the way that we communicate and engage with potential talent.
I agree. So Theo, why should employers care about neurodiversity?
Employers need to care because we're in a period at the moment where there is a real challenge on obtaining talent. Lots of talent has left a wide variety of industries and are reconsidering where they go. Also, a disproportionate amount of people who are neurodiverse are out of work potentially. And therefore, if employers want to compete with some really interesting talent with unique skills, which they need for the future of work, with technology kind of innovating on a daily basis, then they really need to consider neurodiversity as a high priority immediately. Almost yesterday, they need to get on the bus.
Really important. Actually, they've got a legal duty, and the Equality Act's been around for more than 10 years. So, you know, carrot or stick, they should get on board.
Absolutely. So, Amanda, where and when are we losing talent?
I think we're losing it in schools to start with. We've got children being excluded from school, and many of those children are neurodivergent, but they don't have their needs identified. We're seeing it as behaviour and not reasons for the behaviour. We're then seeing dropouts sometimes in apprenticeship and traineeship, and we're seeing that school-to-prison pipeline. So that ends up with at least one in three people in prison having neurodiverse talents, strengths and challenges and unmet needs. That costs society a lot of money. If we understood upstream those needs and really harness that talent, we could be seeing those children becoming amazing entrepreneurs and businessmen and scientists and all the different sorts of people we need in society in the next 20, 30 years.
Absolutely. And I think we need to empower people to feel good about themselves and good about their unique skills. And that will ensure that they're not lost as well, because they won't be fearful of sharing these particular unique skills with others.
Well, it is. It's flipping the narrative away from seeing deficit and disorder to seeing strengths and talents, and recognising that we all sometimes need a bit of extra support. So in our book, Theo, we talk about spiky profiles, and you actually describe your spiky profile. Yeah, you. So what's your spiky profile all about?
Well, it's all about my cognitive abilities, I have severe spikes in some of my cognitive abilities. And for example, I'm highly creative, but the downside of being highly creative that I hear and take in lots of information from all around me when everybody else might be focused on a linear piece of information is that I can miss out on bits of the conversation that might happen in a meeting, for example. Mm-hmm. So incredibly creative. However, I'm not going to be the best note taker in the meeting.
Okay. And I've got a spiky profile. Sometimes I will interrupt people. I'm really good at the things that really interest me. I get really bored easily with the stuff that I'm not interested in. And actually, that's what we're talking about, spiky profiles. Strengths in some areas that if you capitalize on, wow, what are those talents? And I have some dips as well. And so there are areas which actually a bit of extra help. I need a diary. I need a reminder. I need those things to help me as well. And that's what we're talking about, neurodiversity.
Absolutely. And everybody can benefit from understanding their spiky profiles.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Neurodiversity, Eliminating Kryptonite, Enabling Superheroes. Please like, share our podcast and go on to Amazon, Waterstones or to Kogan Page's website to find our book, Neurodiversity at Work by Theo Smith and Amanda Kirby, which will be coming out in August of this year. Thank you very much.